Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 290 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Hi, everybody.
Shenanigans.
That's every episode.
Yes. Nothing new here. Yay.
Of course. Well, for those who are just joining us for the first time, I am Amber.
I am Valerie. Hey, we're introducing ourselves.
Yes, because technically... This is only the second podcast of the year, realistically.
No, third. Third.
Outside of the special episode, which was not scheduled.
Don't get my brain messed up on this. It is the third episode, because then I'm going to look at my folders and be very confused.
But there are, in other words, some Potters who have just started their journey with us. And so occasionally it is good to reintroduce ourselves as the random cosplay ladies that we are.
Thank you for starting on the better episodes. If you would like to move your way backwards, don't go before episode 50.
Just ignore the first four or so seasons of the podcast and you'll be fine.
Start with like season 5, season 6, and then it really kicks off. We're like a Netflix show.
Although binge watching the podcast or binge listening might take a long time.
Man, I mean, but our earlier seasons, we were pretty good about sticking to that 30 minutes. So that shouldn't be too bad. It's just, it started progressively getting into that hour mode by like four or five, and then.
Right. Plus we have after sessions for those who watch on YouTube.
I should do that one day, is just go through and count out our total podcasting hours. That must be extensive.
Probably. I don't know about Babylon 5, but definitely TNG, yes, chat.
That's our slogan now. It gets better by season 5.
It starts getting better by season 5. We were still kind of unseasoned by that point. But we were getting there.
Every podcast improves, and I've said this before multiple times, regardless if it's your first one or your 500th one. The more you do it, the more it improves. It's just your first episodes are always going to be kind of cringy, maybe questionable in the quality, but it gets better over time.
It's very much the same way with doing cosplay contests.
Yeah.
Your first few are going to feel really awkward when you're up on the stage, and you're going to feel like a complete fool.
Yep.
When you go up there and you have to stand in place for like 10 seconds each, and you're sitting there just going, 1,002.
Okay, if you're a newbie, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yes, I'm saying these things in the ideal way, not in the way they happen in reality. But it does get better the more that you experience doing the walk across the stage, competing in the contest, getting all that experience. It gets much, much better. And then, of course, it comes around full circle, and then you get tired of spending all of the time that it takes to do cosplay contests and prep and having to do rehearsals and such, and then you just stop doing cosplay contests, and then you cosplay for fun.
And you move into other positions like cosplay management for the contest, or produce like panels and stuff. I find that everybody that I know who used to be big in the contest scene has kind of evolved and done other things. They're still involved in contests, but they're not participating. They're behind the scenes.
But in a way, that's good, because you already have that innate experience of how good cosplay contests go, and how not so good cosplay contests go, and you know what to avoid.
Exactly. It's good rules to kind of benefit from it.
Oh, yes. Things run much more smoothly when you have experienced cosplayers helping to run it.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I'm using this as my cosplay updates because Amber, having been sick, does not really have cosplay updates at this point.
And I don't have any either. And I feel very bad and kind of a little guilty about it. I'm trying not to feel guilty about it, because I had every intent to work on something. I genuinely did. And then it seemed like the world was against me every time I tried to even consider picking up something, because it was like, oh, I got to do another house repair. Oh, I got to do another house repair. Oh, I got to do another house repair. So I didn't
get... It sounds like Oprah. You get a house repair.
Yeah. And it was just like, well, shoot, I don't have time to do the things that I want to do. And by the time I'm done with work for the day, I don't want to really sew or get into a whole lot of stuff. I just kind of want to play a computer game for an hour or two and then go to bed. The only thing that I've really done is just done a little bit more cleaning and got rid of more fabric. But I did buy some more fabric, and this is fun fabric. Hold tight. I'm actually really happy. I've already made something with this, though. How fun is that?
That is awesome.
It was very cute. It's at Michael's. Ah. Michael's has a lot of their stuff online, and I know they're slowly adding things into their actual like retail locations, which is kind of nice to see. But they have really nice quality quilt fabric. I was very surprised. For the price, too, it's a little bit better than Joann's. I like it a lot.
Asterisk, Michael's does not sponsor the show.
No, they do not sponsor the show. It just happens to be like the place that I've been going to more often lately for my craft supplies. But I may have bought a couple bits of fabric because now I have space in the fabric bins. Plural. I still don't know, what they're going to be filled with, but more stuff is coming.
I do have a funny story for you, though.
Oh, yeah, shoot. We can do funny story time. Let's do funny stories.
It has to do with partially, like, why I don't have cosplay update, aside from being sick.
Which is not the funny part.
That's not funny. That was not fun at all. Because I am trying to finish the hem on my dress, because I told you I was doing a French seam, the double-turn seam.
Right.
I found out that I don't need one set of stitches across. I don't need two sets of stitches across. I actually need three.
Yeah, buddy.
A full circle skirt. Three rows of stitching all the way down that bugger. And so that I didn't have to keep turning it, and because I'm having to hand stitch parts of it. And so I keep having to turn the bundle in my lap as I get to a new place on the hem. And I kept worrying about getting it dirty.
Ooh,
because
yeah.
It's a white silk dress. It's basically a wedding dress that I have sitting in my lap as I'm hand sewing the hem. And so I bundled it up so that it looks a little bit like, and I don't even know the name of the plant that it resembles, but it looks kind of like a mushroom that's upside down, where the bulk of the body of the dress is inside a shopping bag so that it doesn't get dirty, won't get messed with, nothing. And all that's showing outside of the shopping bag are these fronds that have the hem in a zigzag pattern. It looks a lot like lettuce, actually, on top, or cabbage.
White
because
lettuce.
All the full, this 8 yards of madness. So it looks like I basically have a little potted plant that is sitting in front of me as I work on the hem.
Oh, funny.
Which is great, because it means most of the dress is protected in case, you know, something spills, or if I drop it on the ground or something happens, and so it's protected. But it does look rather plant-like if a plant was made of, you know, silk. And then all I have to do is just rotate the shopping bag plant.
Nice.
As I work on the different parts of the hem. That's what I was doing before I was sick. And then Mother Nature decided I needed a rest.
Yeah, it decided, okay, it's time for Amber to have some extra sleep in her system.
Amber's done enough stuff lately.
Sleep now.
Yes. So the cosplay mushroom is now sitting on my table.
Cosplay mushroom. Oh my goodness.
Well, because it has that shape where it's just the stalk and then the umbrella mm-hmm. of hem fronds.
Too funny.
I can't think of a better way of describing it besides showing a picture.
Do you want to show a picture?
I don't have a picture. Mostly because I end up getting sick of looking at it after a while, considering how much of it there is.
Well, I mean, how big again was the skirt?
8 yards?
Yeah, that's a lot. And you're hand sewing it.
Parts of it.
It's still a lot.
I'm basically hand basting the folds in place so that I can machine stitch them down.
Even if you did it all by machine and didn't do the hand basting, that's still
It's still a lot of sewing. Oh, yeah.
We cannot overlook this.
Very, I'm being very careful in my placement.
Mm.
Because this is something that will last a long time. And also because the fabric frays like no one's business.
Well, yeah. Silk does that.
Yeah. Do we have anything else for cosplay updates?
Nothing else for cosplay updates. I guess we can move on to our main topic for the episode, which is an interview. Hooray! We got another one. Woo! Back-to-back interviews. So our interview this time is with 1, 2, 3 members of a group called Five-Sided Fates, who are a DFW-based cosplay troupe for TTRPG, and they are starting a brand new convention this year. So we hope you all enjoy. All right, Potters, I hope you are excited for this interview as much as I am. With me today, we have Five-Sided Fates, who are a cosplay group and founders of a new convention called FateCon, which is taking place at the Bob Duncan Center in Arlington, Texas, March 29th to the 31st. Everyone, please say hello.
Hi.
And if you could quickly introduce yourselves and what your position at the convention is.
I feel obligated to go first. I'm Casey, Kyrie Celeste on the interwebs. I am the CEO of Five-Sided Fates. I am the origin of all of this beginning. So I will be running around, hopefully, managing everything successfully at the convention.
And I am Blastin Astrid. I am the CCO of Five-Sided Fates, because when you start a company, why not make yourself in the C-suite? Like,
yeah, obviously.
Right? So I do communications, so I talk to people and make things happen. I'm also in charge of all the dungeon masters and making sure all the games run smoothly, because it is a D&D convention.
Very cool.
And I'm Jerry, Little Jerbear 47 on the internet, and I am the COO of Five-Sided Fates, and I'm in charge of keeping everyone with ADD organized.
Much very important.
Yeah, and we needed someone to do that.
Spreadsheets. And I'm also the hacker. I'm also IT, I guess.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so first off, tell us, how did you all get into cosplay? What inspired you all to start?
I accidentally got into cosplay. I kind of stumbled into it by mistake. I was kind of getting into sewing and getting into, like, discovering fashion for the first time, because mm-hmm. I grew up a very tomboy. I wore jeans and a t-shirt for the first 24 years of my life. And then I was like, hey, you can dress weird, but how do I buy weird clothes? They don't exist. Mm-hmm. I'll start making them. Hey, but I want to dress like video game characters or movie characters, not as a costume, but like their outfits are cool. I want to dress like that. And so I started making costumes just to wear every day. And then I was told about a convention, and then I went, and then I was told to enter the costume contest, and I did, and then I won. And I was very confused, and I didn't understand what was happening. And I was really embarrassed to like be on stage because I didn't get what was happening. And then I was like, I think this is a thing that I enjoy doing. Apparently I'm okay at it. So then I was just like, I'll just make another thing and another thing. And then it just snowballed until I met these two, or really Jerry first. And then it kind of became more of a like solidified hobby for me.
I feel like in this instance, Jerry should go next.
All right, I'll go
next.
Yeah,
she's connected.
Yeah.
I am connected.
Because we actually saw each other at that first convention I went to.
Oh, neat.
And realize it. Like, we backtracked that years later, realizing, like, that was you. That was me.
We met multiple times before we met officially.
Yeah.
Because we didn't realize we had met. Well, same thing with Astrid, though.
It's a big cosplay thing, you know, you keep meeting people and costume you don't recognize them.
You don't recognize them, and you're like, oh, right, I know the so-and-so, but, like, no.
Yeah, it doesn't connect.
So I also kind of got into cosplay accidentally because I was living in, like, Clovis, New Mexico. There's nothing to do. And Fallout 4 came out, and I was like, I want to make a vault suit and do a photo shoot, because I was doing a lot of modeling then and a lot of photography. So I was like, hey, have my friend take these pictures of me in the desert. It's very Fallout. And so I made that costume and then discovered that that's called cosplay.
Yeah.
So when I moved here to DFW and there was actually conventions and stuff, I started just making outfits and going. And then I was in the same cosplay contest as KC that first time in a group. And which is probably why we weren't friends at first, because I thought Casey was a child with her mother, and she thought I was a floozy because I was just in body paint and a metal bikini.
Perfect.
And so we didn't seem like we were.
I was not a child at the time, but I was dressed as a child, so I probably did look really young.
And then we met again at a different convention where she complimented my outfit and then thought I was too cool because I was hanging out with Evil Ted Smith because I was his handler for the day at the convention.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, this girl is incredible. I'll run up to her and be like, you're amazing, and then run away. And I, of course, didn't even realize it was the same person that I had already met once.
And then I've just kind of made it my whole life. I kicked my husband out of our office so I could take over with all of the craft space. Yeah. And now I have 4 closets and they're all full of my stuff. But we also met Astrid one time before we met her and thought she was too cool for us because her costume was so cool. Like, obviously we can't speak to this woman because she is above
leagues above us.
And so we just said, hi, your costumes were cool, and ran away.
Aww.
Only to find out later that was like the first thing you had ever made. Mm-hmm. And we were like, I don't know how you did it.
Astrid only goes 100,000%.
She has a skill, and that's like, I'll do it in 5 minutes. It'll be better than all of yours.
And then it will fall apart.
It
lasts for like 3 hours, and it's incredible, and then it's just shreds.
All you need is those 3 hours, get the photos, and you can move on.
Yeah.
There you go. I got into cosplay through sewing because I just went completely unhinged during the pandemic. I was always like a person that went way too hard on Halloween, and that's just been my personality for a long time. And during the pandemic, I was like, man, I'm sad. What makes me happy? And I was like, well, I'll do something crazy for Halloween. So I did like a different makeup look for every day of the week for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And then after Halloween was over, I was like, oh no, I'm sad again. Oh. I was like, well, I could keep making stuff. And I got into sewing because I was sewing masks for people. I was like, I could sew a shirt. I could sew a dress. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of spiraled from there. And I just never stopped doing Halloween. I was watching a lot of Critical Role because that is really how all of us met, at a Critical Role live performance in Austin, which was super cool. One of the best nights ever. Mm-hmm. But so all of my first cosplays were all D&D and Critical Role stuff and body paint and gowns. I have a background in classical music, so I'm big into like formal wear. So I tend to gravitate towards formal wear costumes and body paint because I'm a weirdo. And I don't know. I like to put paint on myself.
Classical music, body paint. There's a straight line between the two. Yeah.
The connection makes sense.
Yeah, I usually have to talk Astrid out of body painting. She's like, well, what if I don't,
like, no, you don't have to.
I've been through that phase. I understand.
I put a full face of makeup on today. It could have been pink instead of regular skin color.
Could have been.
Anyway,
it's fine. It could have been.
And so I went to Scarborough Fair for the first time once things started opening back up again and we were allowed outside our homes. Mm-hmm. After the pandemic started to wind down. And I wore body paint outside in July to a Renaissance fair. And these two came up to me and were like, you're weird, be our friend.
Yeah, like there's something mentally wrong with you for being red when it's hot in Texas. Yeah. So like, you should join us so we can like help you.
So we can take care of you.
Yeah, you need someone to take care of you.
Guide me in the right direction.
You were in stilettos, you were in lingerie, and you were body painted.
Yeah,
that's right. I did wear stilettos to Scarborough. I at least stopped doing that.
Well.
Gotta do it all for the cosplay. It's for the look.
Absolutely. No,
she does it every day. It's not just a cosplay.
So how did Five-Sided Fates come together?
It was kind of it was also an accident, as everything is in life, I feel like. We kind of started up how we all ended up meeting at Scarborough the first time was Jerry hosted a Critical Role meetup, like, hey, show up in Critical Role costume, we'll all get together. So that was the first time we had met, and we kind of formed this group called the DFW Critter Crew. We had a Facebook group, and we were just hosting Critical Role meetups at different conventions. And so we kind of got noticed by Fan Expo, by their like community department people, and we're like, hey, we see that you guys have like a D&D Critical Role thing. Would you guys want to come to our convention and like have a booth, have a table, and just like hype up Critical Role, hang out with people? And we were like, sure, I don't, we can. And so they were like, well, what do you want to do? And we're like, well, I mean, we can do a meetup, we can do D&D trivia, we can play D&D. Like, we are people that play D&D. We could like host D&D games. And so we did that at Fan Festival and had like this much room, and we had like two tables, and it went fine. And then Fan Expo came around and they asked us to do it again. And they said, we'll give you like an entire room, a huge room. We'll call it like the Tavern Experience. And you guys can do whatever you want in there. And so we were like, okay. So we just went hardcore, and we had our friend Abby, who is Abby Candyland. She makes like sets, backdrops for photos. She made a big tavern backdrop that we put in there for photo shoots. And then we had like five tables with D&D going like all day, every day. And it was like not enough. We had so many people coming in wanting to play D&D, wanting to watch the panels. Like, we had to kick people out of the room during the panels.
I had to stand at the door with my fake sword and say, yeah, no.
It was like fire code capacity. Like, you can't come in here. We have too many people. And so it really like showed us there's like a market for people to want to play D&D in this area, which like obviously makes sense. But like actually seeing it physically in a room, I literally went home and was talking to my dad. My dad's like a big entrepreneur, business starter kind of guy. And so I was like, hey, this is kind of what happened this weekend. And like, what is stopping me from doing that? And I think the answer is like, I have to rent a building. And that's how you make a convention. Like, it's all the only thing I need is like the space to do it. And so he was like, okay, well, what does that take? I don't know. So I started doing research, and I was like asking them in our group. I was like, hey, what if we like did this ourselves and like started a business? And so it just like was a few weeks of like looking around and like doing the numbers and going like, I think we're capable of doing this. And so we all, like the five of us, sat down and went like, is this something y'all are thinking would be a good idea? They were like, sure. And I said, okay, let's do it.
And then we did it.
And then we did it. And I opened a bank account. I got a legal name for our group. I bought a website. I got an email. I don't know. I was like, that's how you do a business. Like, I have, because I have family members who have started businesses. I understand the overall concept. And so it was like, just run forward with it. And so now we're a thing.
And it really, it fulfills this need in the D&D community, because if you play D&D, you know the true enemy in any campaign is scheduling. It's getting people together, getting people to consistently show up, and having a group at all. Like, a lot of the people who played at Fan Expo were like, oh man, I love D&D, but my group disbanded 20 years ago and I haven't played since. Or people who were excited, who wanted to get into D&D, that were beginners but didn't have a group or a community to play with. Because unless you happen to be lucky and have five friends that also like D&D as much as you do, it's hard to actually put it together. So we were like, let's provide this thing that people need, which is a place to play, organization, having people like be accountable to like show up, providing dungeon masters, all the hard stuff, so that people can just show up and do the fun stuff, which is play D&D.
Yeah. All right, so how does TTRPG and D&D influence your cosplay and your creativity? Because I have to say, seeing all of your costumes, you guys have such unique and cool pieces alongside the Baldur's Gate stuff, which, you know, we love.
I almost put on Jahira for this, and I was like, I don't really want to wear the wig. The wig is, she's back.
Your Jahira is beautiful. And by the way, your Karlach, oh my God, to die for. So adorable in the best ways possible.
Yeah, so I feel like, so when I first got into cosplay, I was doing like video game characters and things that I was interested in at the time, anime characters. But really when I got into this group, we all kind of discovered we had this love for Critical Role and Dungeons & Dragons. You know how cosplay is, it's more fun as a group than if you're all doing something individual. And so it kind of just became like, what are things we could do as a group? Well, Critical Role, we already all love that. So we're going to like push ahead, and now I've made like 7 Critical Role costumes, and I have like 7 more on the list I could make, and I'm out of time to do all of that. But then it turned into like, we should dress up as our own characters, and that's like such a like creative experience to like have nothing. Like, there's no source material, there's nothing for me to go, it's like my own brain and me deciding like whatever I want to be, and it's like a symbol of your own personality and the kind of person you are, as well as like the character that you're creating and you're leaning into. So that's like a really cool, I'm not very good at like creating a costume from scratch. I feel like when I don't have source material, I struggle because I'm like, I don't know what looks good. I can't draw it out together. So I kind of just have to start making stuff and hope it looks good together. But I feel like making like my own D&D characters, there's something like fulfilling about making a character and then being that character and then getting to share that with other people. So I think it helps like jumpstart your ability to not just copy something that exists, but to like create something from scratch.
Yeah, the original character aspect of TTRPG cosplay is my favorite part, because then I don't have to be beholden to any details that someone might expect. Like, I can just create whatever I want to out of my own brain, and if it falls apart a little bit and I have to glue it in a different way so it stays together, it was always meant to look that way.
Yeah, I love cosplay. Like, the first time I cosplayed my own original D&D character, it like changed my life. I was like, oh, this is different than regular cosplay. Like, I have one of mine, this is Princess Mynira, who is in the game that Casey DMs, and just running around as her with, you know, other people dressed up. Like, Astrid's gonna be her character Wynona, a centaur, and then I'm gonna wear that, and we're gonna run around Scarborough together probably this year, and just, it's just so much fun. It's like, it helps almost LARPing.
It is, like, you're like embodying a character, and it's not just like a character that exists, it's like your own character. So your actions, yeah, it's LARPing. It's like your actions are your own character, because that's like your own brain, you did that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then it gives you an excuse when people are like, oh, your outfit's cool. You're like, thanks, let me info dump everything about my D&D character to you right now in the rain at Scarborough. You can't leave. We have to tell you everything.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing that happened.
Oh, yeah. It is. And, like, for me, I dress like a weirdo all the time. Like, cosplay really helped me just, like, become more confident in, like, I can look like this every day. I went to my niece's birthday party dressed like this because it was circus themed, and I went, Volo is basically a circus, I'll just show up like this. And everyone was like, what are you doing, you weirdo? But like, I feel like the transition from regular clothes to like cosplay is maybe too far, but like right in the middle with like fantasy, Ren Faire, D&D-esque outfits, you can kind of marry those in such a way that like, it's not a full costume, you're definitely a weirdo and people are staring at you in public, but in such a way that it's like, oh, but they're stylish. They're doing it in a cool way, maybe. Maybe this is what I think about myself. Other people are probably like, this weirdo.
You're setting trends. You're a fashion trendsetter.
I am. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Bring back the bard hat.
There we go. So what is your starting point when you're coming up with your character designs in order to actually transform them into these full costumes?
I'm a big fan of a Pinterest board and looking up like, it also depends like the vibe you're going for. So like if you're looking for something more historical, you can really lean into like historical elements. Like my most recent character that I made is a bard, and so I was looking up like not only historical bard outfits, but also like she was a circus performer, so I'm looking up historical circus outfits and like the kind of things that would be worn to combine those, which like honestly that's part of the reason why I wanted to be Volo too, because it also kind of was in that same Renaissance bard circus core. But it's like finding those kind of elements, and then honestly just like also your classic D&D elements, like, okay, well, she would have like, she's also a monk, so she's gonna have monk pants, but she's gonna combine that with like super gaudy over the top like gold trim on everything because she's like a performer and wants everyone to look at her. She's covered in bells, so she's super loud and obnoxious, but that's like she's drawing attention to herself. That's the kind of person that she is. So it's like thinking about like getting into their skin, thinking about them as a person, and like how would they want to express themselves if they were like in their ideal outfit, their ideal form. Like they would want to be obnoxious, bright, annoying to be around, have an instrument strapped to them. So then you can just like keep adding things to it. Like, oh, this makes sense for her logically. Oh, this is something that, and then also just being a thrifter, we're big thrifters in our group. I don't believe in buying new fabrics for anything. This entire costume is made out of bed sheets and curtains.
So this is a tablecloth?
Very cool. Yeah, we like that.
So we're big secondhand people. So a lot of costumes also get inspired by just like the materials you're able to find. So like you might have like, oh, the perfect material in your mind, but like I can't afford $25 a yard to buy this. So I'll just go thrifting for the next 2 or 3 months. And then you find something that like, oh, I would have never thought to buy this kind of material, but now that I've seen it, I'm like, it's perfect. And so I can like combine all of that together and you get something interesting that you probably would have never just come up with if you had just like gone to the fabric store and bought fabric.
And it gives it a story. I think that people are interested to like hear like, oh, that's a tablecloth. When I made Alfira from Baldur's Gate, everything was tablecloth, bed sheets, stuff we got at Goodwill.
It looks like, so good. You would never notice that.
But honestly, sometimes those are higher quality fabrics. Like if you get a nice curtain, sometimes that's better than stuff you can buy at Joann. Like, so you can get really nice quality stuff if you look and just start hoarding.
That's really the key. Yeah. Become a hoarder.
We're hoarding now. Yes.
Fabric?
Yeah. You can't see this off screen, but I have a giant wall of fabric.
So we hoard. I personally like to watch fashion shows. Ooh. Like what the like unhinged, weird avant-garde ones. I'm like, what weird element inspired them? And like what kind of character would wear this out in their everyday life? Like currently I'm right now very obsessed with the Pat McGrath, like glass skin porcelain doll.
Yes.
Look.
Yes.
And so I've decided my character in our D&D game recently found out that she is a celestial. And so I was like, oh, well, let's just do that makeup for her. So when I make her for Scarborough Fair in a couple of months, she's totally going to have that Pat McGrath face. And so I try to incorporate that kind of weird, funky avant-garde stuff into the look because I can't wear that in everyday life. So
you could.
You could.
You could.
Should you?
Yeah.
But should you?
And mine is mostly, I like to base my characters off of other characters. Like honestly, sometimes I just full on just take a character from a media I like and make them a D&D character and play them because I just love them. So like this one back here with the green coat, which you can't even tell it's green back there in the dark, but whatever. She is basically like a conglomerate of all Disney princesses. Just like you just smush them all together, and she's just, and then also like changeling lore, but her outfit's really based on her original outfit. It was just like classic princess dress kind of thing. And then, you know, as the game progressed, we were on a pirate ship, and then everyone was giving her a hard time about the fact she was in a ball gown and they were adventuring. And so finally she was like, okay, I'll wear pants. And then got a couture made jacket made by a ghost. And it has to be very, so I really like my characters changing their outfits throughout the campaign, which our other game that we're playing right now, I realized recently my character's never changed her vibe, and I feel like she needs a new, Theo needs a new outfit. But my other character is based kind of loosely on Xena the Warrior Princess, so it's very like lots of leather. She's just one of my favorite characters to cosplay, so I was like, I will do that. But yeah, also all my stuff is thrifted. We all swap materials. We're like, does anyone have, you know, some green that I can use? And it's like, so almost everything I make is free. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't go out looking for, like, you know, I usually don't go out and buy a specific fabric. I just wait until it exists and I'm like, oh, I can do something with that. So
yeah, that's how like all my cosplays, like how I decide. I have like a lengthy list of this is all the stuff I would love to cosplay, but then I just wait until I find like, oh, the perfect material. Oh, I can go back on my list and go, that would be perfect for this character. Now I'll actually start like making it. So it's like the order of how I make things is chaotic because it's like I have to be inspired by a cheap enough material to go, it's time. Now I can make this.
Girl math.
If it's from the Goodwill outlet, it was free because it's trash.
There you go. Yeah.
Like I can't even quantify what it cost because it was by the pound. It cost nothing then. It was like a dollar. So, but I do love what you're saying, Jerry, about like the story that goes into the character of like the design. Because I do agree that is something like interesting about D&D. And I guess in some shows they do that, like, you know, as the series go on, character outfits change. But I feel like we treat D&D as almost like a cartoon where they're wearing the same outfit every day for their entire life. But like some characters, like a princess, or my character is also a changeling and she's a performer. So she's like putting on a new outfit every single day because she, you know, is that kind of person. And so getting to like design those outfits in my brain, and then like every time you wear that costume, change something about the costume so it feels more updated and like it is telling part of the story. Because then it's like, oh, you're a princess but you're wearing a pirate coat, what do you mean? Like, that doesn't seem like a princess thing to do. And it's like, well, let me tell you
let me tell you about our pirate ship that we crashed into a whirlpool, and then I really thought we we thought we were doing something, and it ended up being a bad idea.
It was.
You need a seafaring outfit. You need a winter outfit. You need a beach outfit.
Yeah.
You need a formal outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All important.
All right. So we're going to do a weird gear shift because we've already talked a little bit about this, but FateCon. Tell us about FateCon. What is it? We know that's for D&D. What else is it about?
Well, it is D&D. It is really... when I was looking up stuff about this, there's really not a lot of like D&D specific conventions in Texas, at least. I feel like a lot of your big conventions in other states are like, it's a big convention, but then there's a big TTRPG section within it.
Right. There's usually like one room where it's like they might have a couple of games going throughout the weekend, and that's about it.
Or like a mini painting session or like a couple of panels or something. But there's not a lot of like, this is just for D&D and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so it really is just a convention that is centered completely and wholly around D&D. So there will be D&D games. There will be like hundreds of sessions, all different levels. We'll have low level. If you're a beginner, we actually have a specific beginner room for people who have never played, need help creating a character. That's something we really learned at Fan Expo, is like the barrier to entry is like, I have a blank sheet of paper with 50 blanks on it and I don't understand how to fill it out, which is like, totally understand. It is complicated the first time, you've never done it. Like, let's help you build a character. Let's help you play in your first game. So now you have the knowledge. But then we'll have high level games. We'll have level 20 kill a Tarrasque and see if you can survive. So we'll have lots of ranges of that. We're also going to have panels about world building, building characters, making outfits for your characters if you're also a cosplayer, because I know there's a lot of crossover. Maybe some people don't go as hard as we do, but a lot of people like the idea of being in a vague, you know, costume for whatever their character is. Mm-hmm. We'll have trivia and prizes to give away. We're going to have hopefully some raffles for some cool prizes. We're going to have a live play. So our group is going to play D&D live on stage for people to watch, because that's another like aspect of TTRPG that like I think also really became popular during the pandemic, and Critical Role kind of like boosted that like idea that, oh, people are willing to watch other people play D&D. So hopefully I will be DMing that game for the rest of the Fates. So hopefully we can create a really hilarious and interesting game for everyone to watch. But really it's just, and we'll have vendors. We're having a lot of D&D specific vendors, so dice and things like that, and art for people to buy. So it really is gonna be like a full blown real 3-day convention. It's just about D&D versus nerd culture in general. And we'll have some, we have a friend who does like real sword fighting with like real metal swords. Neat. And so we're going to have some like sword fighting demonstrations going on outside, because the convention center we're at is actually like in a park. So we have like access to the entire park to do stuff too. So we're going to kind of have like that kind of stuff happening outside. So you can just hang out in the park as well for the weekend, and get to experience some fun Ren Faire D&D-esque activities.
The thing that people who listen to this podcast might be interested in is we will have a cosplay contest.
Oh, yes, right, cool.
That's true.
Yeah, on Saturday. There's not really any restrictions about, like, does it have to be D&D? Does it have to be your original character? Mm-hmm. Just cool cosplay.
Show up in a costume. A costume is a costume.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. Yay. All right, so what are your goals with FateCon? What do you hope attendees will walk away with?
I hope they get to play D&D. I hope they really, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, like the problem with D&D is like the scheduling and like finding someone to run the game for you if you're like not, like I was thrown into running games when I was a baby D&D player, because the people in my group are just like, you'll be good at it, even though I didn't know the rules. And so I think a lot of people, if they have maybe a group that wants to play, but nobody knows the rules enough of how to play, this is like a way to get the chance to actually play. So we're wanting to really connect the D&D community to one another, because I hear all the time from people I know, like, I just don't have friends who play, or I'd like to play, but I don't really know how. And like, that's kind of how all of us start. Like, we don't really know how to do it. And we kind of just hope we can find people who do. And so I really want people to like not only get to play with people they wouldn't normally get to play with, mm-hmm. Because there's going to be people coming from all over, but that then they can find people in their area that do play, like, hey, I'm from McKinney, you're from McKinney, we should both get together and like form a game, or oh, you live close to that game shop, let's go to that game shop and start playing. So we're hoping to have like a master list of like, these are places in the area that run games, these are places that would love to but they just don't have DMs, these are like areas that people are looking for games, so that people can like, we want to D&D matchmake people to like get the community strengthened so that more people will play D&D, because that's like the way D&D flourishes, is mm-hmm. it's a very social endeavor. So really just like, I want people to be able to find their people and feel like they can like connect and play more D&D.
Yeah, foster community. And I think that's one of the things that I love so much about both cosplay and D&D. Like, Jerry is really inspiring in that aspect of like creating community through cosplay. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of hoping to bring that, to foster a D&D community here in DFW, because like you said, it's all about being social. It's also fun to like be exposed to different styles of play, because yeah, there really absolutely. Is a spectrum of like people that like RP or role playing heavy games where you talk a lot and become each other's therapists and work through your mommy trauma. There's the other side, which is, you know, very combat focused and let's kill monsters. And then you can also work through your anger issues there. So like, you know, games all throughout that spectrum and being exposed to different styles. And you're like, oh, I didn't know I could do that in a D&D game. So fostering community and bringing, you know, the cool parts of the cosplay community in DFW into the role-playing community too.
I feel like I don't have anything else to add to that. I was very thorough. You guys are so thorough. Great job. I just like, when I moved here from New Mexico, I mean, I'm in my 30s. It's hard to make friends when you're older, like yes. once you get out of like, you know, school and everything. And like, this is how I made all my friends as an adult, is through cosplay, through D&D, and like FateCon will be almost a week, it'll be like a week early, but the 5-year anniversary of whenever me and Casey and Alyssa is one of the other members, we met. So it'd be like our 5-year anniversary of our friendship, basically. And it's like, I want other people to have friends, because it's so important. Like, people our age don't really have friends anymore. And that makes me very sad, because I'm like, please play D&D with these people, know their deepest, darkest secrets. Like, learn to love them even if they're insane, and just have fun. So, and I love playing D&D in person. We tried playing D&D digitally during the pandemic, and it just like isn't the same.
It's not the same.
And I just am not a fan. I just want to smush everyone in a room and like everyone have fun immediately. I demand
it. It really is like, I was just watching some like stuff about like the loss of the third place, and how like our generation doesn't have like, we have home and we have work and we have nowhere else to go to like meet people and socialize and like get together. And D&D is really like scheduled fun. Like, it's a way to like get a group of people to actually commit to like hanging out all the time. And when it is like, when people's schedules are busy and when life is chaotic, like, I know that we'll at least be getting together on Monday to like hang, because it's not just like we're not sitting down playing a board game and then walking away. It's mm-hmm. like, we're really like getting to know each other, we're having community, we're talking, we're like, and yeah, and I agree, I want that for other people, because like, I didn't have a super solid like friend base until I met this group and started doing stuff as well, like getting into cosplay, having the ability to see people and do things and have a hobby. Like, I didn't have that as much, and so I think more people, if they would just be willing to like put themselves out there and do something weird, that they could like find, everyone's weird, just hang out with weird people, we're fine, have a good time, put on a wig, move on with your life, yell at your friends about trauma,
get the cat ears on, it's all good.
And it means a lot to people. Like, even for the events that we've done, which are smaller in scale than FateCon, we've had a lot of people come up to us and be like, I haven't played D&D in 20 years, mm-hmm. or like, you know, I've been wanting to get my daughter into D&D, but all the people that we know who play are like dudes in their basement. And like, you know, I felt comfortable bringing my daughter to this. Or even people who were like, you know, none of my friends in my normal life, no Critical Role or know anything about D&D. And so it meant so much to me to like find people to share this with and talk mm-hmm. about it with. Like mm-hmm. it really touches people's hearts, and clearly it's touched our hearts because here we are spending all of our free time making it happen.
Yeah, here's our business.
It means a lot to people.
Absolutely. So have you all experienced any kind of hiccups or unexpected things while starting up the convention, things that you didn't anticipate when you were planning it?
I think our biggest one, which we joke about this all the time, is like trying to find the building. Like that was my joke at the beginning, was like, yeah. All I need to do is find a building to rent. How hard is it to rent a building?
I really just, very like, difficult.
So here's money. Really hard. Here's a bunch of money. Please take my money. And they go, we don't want your
money. We don't want your money.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. What? I'm so confused. So it was like, that was really like a lot of our beginning trials was like going to every place in our area, because I knew I wanted it to be here in Arlington, and just like asking convention centers and hotels and any place that had a big enough spot, like, just give me a price. It's 3 days in this time period. And then like you wait 2 weeks and you don't hear anything back. And it's like, do these people not want me to rent their building? I don't understand. Like, why is this so hard? Are they busy? Like, I don't get it. And so I feel like once we actually nailed down a building, I was like, oh, now I can relax and we can mm-hmm. actually push forward on the same.
I think it took us like, what, 2, maybe 3 months to actually get a building.
It was so long, probably at least that long.
I would never have expected that. I just thought we'd walk into a place and be like, oh, this weekend's free, here's some money, and that would be the end of it. But that is not how that works.
Yeah, it did not.
You have to do like a special proposal that Astrid had to figure out how to write up, and it's like, why? That seems so unnecessary. Just like
And because like we've never done this before, I'm sure we also just look like a bunch of random women who don't know what we're doing, and we're like, I mean, we don't. But like don't ask about it. Just let us happen. Let us do it.
I feel like I've learned so much business talk.
Yes.
I am closing loops. I am circling back. We are putting our stars on the aisle seats.
Are you getting ducks in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We're putting a pin in it. Like we're making it happen.
I learned that my business degree that I have from UTA taught me nothing about business, because I don't know how business works.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I feel like that's been the crisis. But now it's like, and really just like getting people to be excited, which is not hard. Like people are excited. It's just like, buy a ticket.
Turning that excitement into ticket sales is the other thing. So if you think this sounds fun, please buy a ticket and have fun.
All the information in show notes. Don't worry.
Yes.
Please come.
And now we have 3-day badges and single day badges, because
when
we booked the venue, since it was such a struggle to do that anyway, we didn't even look at the dates, and then after we paid for it, we're like, oh, that's Easter, so it is
in
Easter
March
weekend.
Yeah, why is Easter in March?
Who knows? And so that's where a lot of people are like, oh, I would love to go, and like, oh, it's Easter, oh, I can't go on Sunday. So now we have single day badges, so if you can only go Friday or Saturday or something, then you can still come hang out and play some D&D.
Neat. All right. So I'm going to wrap this up because we are almost out of time. We do this thing called the grab bag questions, which is just one or two questions where you rapid fire, answer quickly, no thoughts, head empty, just answer.
Perfect.
And if this one is cosplay related. So what is your favorite material or tool to work with?
Glue.
Honestly, hot glue solves all. If you have a problem,
hot glue solves it.
Jerry's is safety pins.
Also safety pins.
Don't even pretend like it's not safety pins.
All my stuff I didn't put a zipper in anything until like 2 years ago.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I like sewing. Sewing is my goal. So like fabric, getting to actually make something out of fabric. I don't like prop making. I want to sew it.
If I can't hot glue it, I don't want it.
Hot glue saves lives.
No.
Well, thank you all so much. This was a wonderful interview. Where can everybody look up all your stuff on socials and plug FateCon? Go.
Yeah, so I am Kyrie Celeste on Instagram. You can also find us at Five Sided Fates on Instagram and Facebook. Our website is fivesidedfates.com or also fate-con.com. You can buy tickets on there and everything for that. Oh, and also Speedy RPG. I forget about the other thing. I made a card game.
Oh, neat.
It's right here.
Oh, cool.
I have a sample. It's a D&D card game. You can play an entire D&D session in 5 minutes. That's the whole goal. It's on Kickstarter right now. It ends in like 1 week. Ooh. So Speedy RPG on Kickstarter, also speedyrpg.com. Buy my card game. Huzzah. Okay, I'm done.
It's a quick, easy way to play D&D. And if you're like just now getting into TTRPGs, Speedy RPG is awesome. You can also find us on Five Sided Fates on TikTok.
Okay. That's
true. I am Blast and Astrid on Instagram and TikTok.
I am LILJERBEAR47, Little Jerbear 47. On all the internet. I've had that username since like 1996.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm old and I don't change things. And then at Five Sided Fates, literally everywhere as well, because we picked the name because it was available everywhere.
Sure.
So come hang out with us. And we're trying to post a lot more. So if you have any.
Yeah, I'm literally about to film TikToks all day today.
Oh, yeah. I need to film TikToks.
Post on the internet so that people will hopefully see our faces and come hang out with us at FakeCon.
Nice. And that's March 29th through the 31st.
Yes. Last weekend of March.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. Appreciate it. You are amazing.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And we're back.
Hooray.
Hopefully you all enjoyed that and are enjoying our series of interviews. We've worked really hard to get those for you.
And big thank you again to Five Sided Fates for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to hopefully attending one a day for FateCon. I don't know what the heck I can throw together that quickly since it's about a month from now. But I'm curious enough that I want to see it because it is a smaller convention. It's something different. It's filling a need in the area that we just haven't seen before. So it's like, okay, I want to go. I want to see what this is going to be like.
It's always nice to have choices mm-hmm. for conventions so that they're not all the same.
Yeah.
So that those who like smaller cons have smaller cons they can go to. Those mm-hmm. who like larger cons have larger cons. Those who like to cosplay, those who like panels, those who like guests, that sort of thing. Those who like gaming, there are cons for that too. And DFW is pretty well stocked in terms of conventions. We have a lot.
We got a lot, and it would be nice to see a lot more of the smaller ones pop up. That would be great.
I realize that ACON is not quite the size of Anime Expo, but sometimes it feels like it.
Especially depending on the location they pick, yeah.
Also true. I am not a fan of being packed in a convention center like sardines.
No, my days of interest in that are long done. And that's something we can talk about in the after session too.
Indeed. Speaking of which,
hey.
Anything else we need to announce for today's show?
Nope, that's it for this episode.
Alrighty. Well, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know what you thought of the interview. Or, of course, let us know what type of convention that you enjoy attending. Please keep it PG-13. Please feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those who are watching, everything is located underneath Amber. That hasn't changed. But look, we have a new Blue Sky logo. Yay! It pretty, ain't it? For those who are listening, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and... Oh, no, wait, on YouTube it's CosPodcast. No, I'm right. Wow, I was rambling so quickly that I tripped myself up. And on Blue Sky, we're CosPod. Dang it. Brain worked faster than mouth.
If you would like to contact us the traditional way, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Keep working on those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us. Maybe with Five Sided Fates. Who knows? Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 291. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.